What do we want to do today? I feel like fooling around today. What do we want to do? John told me not to say anything because he's tired of getting beat up. If you ladies would stop distracting Jimmy so he can sit down. Yes.
There was a button and an M&M in there.
Oh, I missed that M&M.
You did.
John probably put that M&M. You don't think I wouldn't have eaten that? With my immune system, it wouldn't have bothered me. All right, good morning, all. Hope you all had a good week. What happened this week? Anything good? Someone needs hearing aids besides me. Can you hear me now? Okay, good. hope you all had a good week, a blessed week, a God-honoring week. And again, I'd like to hear the testimonies, as everyone does here. If, you've been blessed this week, let's hear about it. Anybody?
Yesterday, working here, it was a great day.
Good.
It was a good time around the church family, and we got a lot done, but it was a good day.
Oh, super. It's good to be around saved people that love the Lord and serving the Lord. Sometimes being around saved people is not too much fun. But anyway, anyone else?
I was blessed. I thought I was going to have to put my kitty to sleep, and then I got to the vet. And we saved her life. So.
Oh, good.
She's still home sleeping under the bed.
Good. Glad. Those little things. I had to take Roxy for her annual checkup. Now, Roxy, if you don't know, my dog is about this tall, if I hold her this high. she's a little long-haired chihuahua, teacup chihuahua, and she is so sweet, but she is a typical female. Wait a minute. I may be on live, so I'll take. She is so spoiled. I've told many of you, I'll cook steak for her, I'll cook sirloin, I'll cook whatever it is, ribeye, hot dogs. She'll turn her nose up if she don't want it. And then other times, when she's hungry, she'll eat. But she is such a good girl. And I don't spoil her. I don't spoil anybody. But all was good, and her, like a, I won't add that, I was going to say like a typical female, she had gained some weight, and she's got to lose about 2 pounds, but I'll keep her working now. I'll keep her playing, chase her. What a Sunday school is this? You know, I'll chase her around, and then she'll stop and turn, and then I'll go the other way, and she'll chase me around the atrium or whatever it's called. But we have a lot of fun. I enjoy life. I enjoy life. Who else? Anyone else?
John, yes. We asked for prayers concerning our trip up to see Sarah's family.
Yes.
It is probably the best trip we've ever had up there. So God answered prayer.
Great. That is so good.
Sometimes you don't get that when you go to her office.
Yeah.
But it was wonderful.
That's good to hear. And prayer is so important. You know that. I know that. We can joke around, but we get serious about prayer and pray one for another. It's really, really good. It's really good because you see prayer works in your life. Yes, yes.
We just go on to something else and just take it for granted that, okay, well, it worked out just the way I prayed for. Sometimes we forget to thank the Lord.
Yes, we do.
We need to be reminded. Hey, you just got some prayer answered. Be thankful.
It is. You're right.
Instead of just go on to something else.
Yeah, yeah. It's so good. And it's good to hear when the Lord answers prayer in someone else's life, especially if you've been praying for that person. Anything else? Junior still getting beat up by Jane? Yeah. Okay. Jimmy.
My sister had surgery Tuesday. She had to have two removed on the side right
now. Okay.
I was spent one night in the hospital.
Wow.
She's improved some. But I was some headaches.
Yeah. All right. We continue praying for that and the family. Gentlemen, anything? Jane. Okay. We'll continue. We pray for you, and we'll continue praying for you and for Junior. All right. Jury will be traveling next Sunday. So keep that in prayer. She's got a long ways to go. You know those Yankees have to travel all the way up to New York. So I tried to talk her into leaving 2 weeks ago, but it didn't work. So, all right. Anything else before we go to prayer? Okay, Ben, how about praying for us? All right. As always, when we begin, I always ask, anything come up in your Bible reading, Bible study, questions that you have, we'll try and answer them. Anything at all. John.
This has been going through before, but I was reading Matthew and actually paid attention as I went through it. You know, a lot of times with names you gloss over it, but why was it important to have the lineage of Joseph if he wasn't actually the father of Jesus? Is it just for the fulfillment of prophecy so that the Jews see that the Jews would see him as the father of
right.
Jesus?
Why is it important that Joseph's lineage is mentioned in Scripture when he's not the actual father of Jesus? To prove that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. It showed that Joseph was not the literal father, that God was, and you compare that. They didn't have Scripture then, but when you compare that with Timothy, God manifest in the flesh, and that was Jesus Christ, proving that He is God. And you've got other Scriptures to verify that. He rose from the dead. Who rises from the dead? And you do further study on that. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who rose Himself from the dead. It was the Holy Spirit that rose Him from the dead. And it was God the Father that rose Him from the dead. You find those in Scripture. And there's no doubt that Jesus Christ is God. You know, each has their distinct office, if you want to call it that, the Holy Spirit. He's here to embody us when we get saved, when we get born again, that is made alive within us. And then God the Father, He gave us the Word. He preserved that Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a life, 33 and a half years, without sin, as a man, as a human being, proving that you and I can live a life that's taught in Scripture, to be in line with Scripture. We can live that life if we truly desire it. Now you say, the draw is so much on us, and it is. But we make the decision to yield to whatever it is, either to the Word of God or to pleasure for a season. And God's a balanced God. We want to live for the Lord. Then we'll receive at the judgment seat of Christ the rewards for obedience to the Word. Or we can reap what we sow. And as I've mentioned over and over, you can reap it now, and you can reap it at the judgment seat. So we can double get the reward or the punishment, if you want to call that, or the bad reaping, whatever it is. So it's our choice. anything else? Did that help, I hope? Anything else? Any other questions? Okay. All right. We'll continue on from last week. Last week, we saw how God looked down and seen man according to Genesis chapter 6. We looked at man's state. What was going on? It was the wickedness of man. It was so great in the earth. Every imagination of his thoughts were, the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Now, why do you think God put that in there, the thought of his heart? Because the heart is your motivating factor, not your physical, we're not talking about, but what motivates us, you know. And the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. As I said last week, you see what's going on today, how quickly the downslide of man is today, calling evil good and good evil. You see it every day more and more as time goes on. And I'm happy about it. I rejoice about that. I don't like what's happening, but it shows that the coming of the Lord is getting closer and closer. Do I want to get raptured out of here? Of course I do. Then I better get saved. But anyway, I would like to get raptured. I'd like to know that feeling of being taken up like that. I don't know if I'd be afraid of heights then. I wanted to, my daughter-in-law and I were going to go parachuting one time. And I was still young at the time. I was only probably 68, maybe 10 years ago, 8 years ago, somewhere around there. And my son, he said, no, you're not going to do that. He says, I did that for years. I know what it's like. And I'm kind of glad I didn't tell him that, but I'm kind of glad. But I wanted to do it just to be able to say I did it, you know. But anyway, that being taken up and it's just, I can't even think of how amazing that is. The earth also, the earth, the land itself was corrupt. Everything was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And then by nature, God looked at man. And what did he see? He seen his heart was deceitful and desperately wicked. Now, as we look at ourselves, we try to live what we call a Christian life, a life that lines up with what the Word of God teaches us, to be an example. So when people see us, our actions, our reactions, how we talk, what we say, what we watch, jokes we tell, are we like Christ or are we like the world? Got to be careful because some things are on the borderline and you just avoid them just because they're not clearly honoring the Lord. So out of the heart of men proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceitfulness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. So that all comes from out of your heart, your desires. What do you want to show in your life? You want to show that you're one of God's children. You want to live a life that brings honor and glory to Him. And then we need to make sure that these things are not manifest in our lives. And then he seen us by our practice. The Bible says they had all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. What a society that is. Just look around us today. As I said, we see it more and more. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? And I've explained to you what iniquity is. Iniquity is the thought of being involved in ungodliness, sinful practices, sin that you want to, you're thinking about getting involved in. Better be careful. And I'm talking to myself because I know me and you know you. You know where your weak spots are and what the devil will be allowed to hit you with. And are we going to succumb to what's being thrown at us, or are we going to call upon the Lord and say, Lord, clean my mind up, clean my desires up. I want to bring honor and glory to you. I don't want to get involved in sin. Because it's harder to come out of that than it is to slide into it. So there is not, God's seen that there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Why is that with a believer? Why do we continue to sin? When the Holy Spirit of God resides within us, convicts us, and we still decide to go against what the Word of God teaches or what the Holy Spirit is convicting us of. And then you feel so dirty, so shameful after you get involved in whatever it is. And we can avoid that by just listening to and obeying the Holy Spirit of God. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. And I covered this last week. You get involved in sin according to this verse, and even though it's in the Old Testament, it hasn't changed in the New Testament, so it's still applicable to you and I today. We get involved in sin, and don't expect God to hear your prayers. He'll turn away from you till you get right. How do you get right? You all know that. 1 John 1:9, you confess it. You're not, your sins are already forgiven. And this is complicated for some people. Well, if all my sins are forgiven, why can't I do what I want? You can. But when you do what you want and it's against what the Word of God teaches, and you get involved in sin, again, Galatians 6:7 comes into play. You're going to reap what you sow. And you don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So let's just try and be obedient to what the Word of God teaches and listen to the Holy Spirit of God when that conviction comes. Thy tongue deceiveth, deviseth mischief, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than speaking righteousness. We don't want to get involved in deceitfulness. We don't want to get involved in lying. Who was the first lawyer? Satan. You don't want to be associated with being like Satan. So be careful in your daily life, your talk, what you do, what you say. And then, of course, in Romans, which applies to you and I today, no doubt about it, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all become unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asp. You know what an asp is. It's a poisonous, venomous snake, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now, cursing is not just swearing, okay? It's you wish something bad happens to someone else. Cursing. Oh, I wish that guy had end up around a telephone pole, or I wish that guy had dropped dead, you know, things like that, whatever it is. So we need to be careful of what we say and how we act. And again, I say this, and you know it, the worst time probably for a saved person is behind the wheel of an automobile. I got to be careful. These people that sit at a red light and all of a sudden it changes and they're on their phone. Come on, you moron. What are you doing? You want to tell them that, but you've got bumper stickers that Jesus is Lord. And so you have to be careful. I knew one guy in DeLand where I went to church. He would not put a bumper sticker on his vehicle because of his temper. And what I need to do is I need to place my whole car with the bumper stickers, because they're people on the road that are aggravating. And you're in a 55-mile-an-hour zone, and the guy's going 35. And come on, what are you, 90 years old? And I get up to him and he's younger than I am. Well, most everybody's younger than I am. But anyway, you got to be careful. Keep your testimony so that you can glorify the Lord. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You and I, even though we're saved, born again, our sins are gone, we don't have to worry about going to a devil's hell. We still should fear God. Now, when I speak of a Christian fearing God, I'm not saying, oh, God's going to get me. I said this or I did that. What am I going to do now? He's gonna strike me with the lightning. He's going to make one of my family sick. No, that's not the type of fear. The fear is to reverence Him so that you live according as we're supposed to live, not in fear of punishment. We'll hit on it later on, a saved person and what he has to fear as far as punishment. So now we pick up with the hopelessness and helplessness of man by nature. We find God's warnings in Genesis 6. It's hard to believe, but Genesis 6:6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And then in verse 16, chapter 6, verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, before God had a major event, he always gave a warning. And the next major event is the calling out of the church, the rapture. And what we see going on in this world today, the turning away from God, the acceptance of everything ungodly, you know something is going to happen. And I don't know how soon, but we're moving towards that because you don't see any type of revivals anywhere in this country or Israel. And when you're talking about things happening, don't look to the U.S. because you need to look to Israel, what's going on in Israel and with the Jews, because that's what the Bible is mainly about. We're in an age of grace right now, but with the happenings with Israel, keep an eye on that, because that's when the calling out is going to take place, because God deals with the Jews mainly. 90% of the Bible is about the Jews. And so you keep an eye on them. What's going on over there? You see there's a new government being installed there. And this guy coming in is not like the past one was. Netanyahu, yeah. So just keep an eye on them. Keep watching. Keep watching the United States, Do we continue to support Israel? Better be careful when we start backing off of them. Our blessings as a nation is going to go down the tubes. And I'm afraid we're going to see it pretty quick with all the decisions being made. So Genesis 6:13 says that God's going to destroy everything. He'll destroy the earth. Now, God hates sin and must, because of his holy, just, and righteous character, he must punish sin. And it's going to happen. That's a given. You can't get away from it. That's why you do not want to get involved in sin. So the ark was God's voice to the people of that day. Today, what do we have? We have his inspired, preserved Word of God that speaks to us today. You want to know what God desires, what God wants from you? You want God's blessings? You find it in the Word of God. How do we get these things? What do I avoid? How can I honor the Lord? It's all in the Word of God. A broken record. You've got to read and study the Word of God. We're commanded to, and we should be involved in reading and studying the Word of God. We've got so many ways we can do it today. You've got it on, well, CDs, cassettes. You've got it on your phone. I've got five different Bibles on my phone. I've got two of them that will play the Bible all the way through. And there's a great one, Alexander Scourby, on YouTube, does the whole Bible. You can put that on and just let it run as you're doing stuff throughout the day. The important thing is to get that Word of God into your mind, into your brain, so that the Holy Spirit of God has something to pull out of there when you're faced with a situation. And I've said it before, but I'm sure each one of you have been faced sometime with questions, with dealing with people, when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit calls to mind some scripture that you forgot that you read and studied long ago. So it's important to get the Word of God into your mind and into your heart. That sermon, God's voice, that sermon was a long sermon. Probably 120 years is what they say. But I've been looking at that, and I'm beginning to question that. But anyway, it was a long sermon. Genesis 6, you've got that. Genesis 5, 7, and so forth. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. That's where they come up with that 120 years. That's how long man lived upon the earth in those days. Genesis 5:32 says, "And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth." Genesis 7, "And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth." 1 Peter 3:20, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, I didn't get the figures, but approximate number of people upon the earth in those days, and only eight of them were saved. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in our times? The same percentage, and I don't think it'll change much, if at all. 8% of the people, the billions of people, what's there, 8 billion people on the earth now? And if only 8% of them are saved, you do the math. I was never a mathematician. So our desire should be to get out there, be a witness, pass out tracts, talk to people about being saved, show them their need of being saved and how they can be saved so that they don't have to suffer an eternity in the devil's hell and then into the lake of fire. So we need to be a witness, a testimony. Well, it doesn't do any good. Yes, it does. It makes you an obedient child of God. And you receive blessings and you'll receive rewards at the judgment seat for being obedient. So let's do what we can to get the word out. First Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, aren't you glad that the Lord is long-suffering? How old were you when you got saved? How many times did you hear the word of God and rejected it, and God was long-suffering? And then all of a sudden, you listened to the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God, and you got saved. If God wasn't long-suffering, can you imagine how many deaths there would be? Well, you heard the word of God, that's it. You're dead. You're in a devil's hell. Thank God he is long-suffering. And you know your life. You know what you did, what you were involved in. I know what I was like. I'm not going to say it. Some people know what I say, that I'm a good boy, but I'm not going to say it. But what he put up with, you as a parent wouldn't put up with what you put God through. I can understand my father's frustration with me at times, now as I look back. but anyway, live to honor and glorify the Lord. Then in Ezekiel 33:11, say unto them, as I liveth, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? That's why I say, pay attention to Israel. It deals with Israel. But the application for us today, we don't want people to die and go to hell, especially our loved ones, people we care about. You don't want to see them suffering. You don't want to see them cast into the lake of fire. And we will be there to see it. We will be at the white throne judgment when your loved one that maybe you didn't witness to is standing before the Lord. And the Lord says, into the lake of fire you go. And that angel carries that person into the lake of fire and casts them in there. I think that's going to be the second time where there's tears in heaven. And you don't want anybody, people that you've worked with, loved ones that you failed to witness to and be a testimony. And I believe, I really believe, that when they're standing before God, if you had an opportunity to witness to them, they're going to point at you, point at me, and say, "You never told me. You never told me." And we're going to have to live with that. And we're going to have to deal with that then and there. Because once we get through the white throne judgment, that's all gone. Our minds will be like the minds of Christ. All forgotten. We're just living now, serving the Lord as we get into eternity. And then we shall rule and reign with Him if we've done what we should do in this life. All right, we'll finish up there and pick up next week. We'll pick up with a righteous sermon. And again, if you come across anything or you have any questions, please let me know, because you're not going to, it's going to bother you if you don't at least ask, you know. And anything that you come across that you want to know. And it doesn't matter. Don't be afraid to ask, you know, because if you don't ask, it'll bother you. If you don't want to ask in front of everybody, write it out and hand it to me, and we'll see what we can do to get it answered. All right. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask that you take the word that was spoken and use it for your honor and glory. Father, we just pray now that you burden us to be what we would be according to your will and your way. And we ask that you bless the morning service. Speak to us through our brother White as he preaches to us. And we'll give you all praise, honor, and glory for what we've done, what we've learned, what we've applied to our lives to bring honor and glory to you. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you all. I appreciate your attention.